There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. And before we get into this hour, let me just, because the legion of JCs that are fans of Midday Mobile, what's up, y'all? And the staff behind the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, they're, one of them's more clever than the others. It always takes whatever I'm talking about it and then makes it into a plug for the rodeo. That's fine. It says, annexation or not, everyone can still buy a rodeo ticket and fish the world's largest fishing tournament. Yes, tickets for the 90th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo on sale now. And of course, on Saturday, like Bobby and I talked about during the fishing report this morning, Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, which I love because, well, number one, it gets kids fishing. Number two, hey, parents, you can, if you don't have time to get the ticket yet, take the kids fishing Saturday, catch the fish, go to the rodeo site. And you can buy the ticket, then weigh the fish in. So you don't even have to. It gives you a, you just decide, because sometimes I know I have a couple of them. It's a last minute decision when children are involved. So yeah, I use that. But Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament this weekend. Of course, Big Rodeo gets kicked off a week from, well, really a week from tonight with the Liars Contest next week. And then Cannon Blast on Friday morning. So we'll talk more about that coming up. And of course, you can talk more about that on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors Saturday morning at 7 with Mike Ward and me. All right. I mentioned as we continued our conversation about the vote that's less than a week away on annexation, we'd get different players in on this, and we talked about the public safety aspect. I talked to the police chief and yesterday talking to the mayor, and I had some questions about the fire side of this, and he said, I tell you what, instead of me answering it, why don't you talk to the man who's responsible for that? So let's do that with Mobile Fire and Rescue Department Chief Jeremy Lamy joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
So let's dig into what is the current situation. We talk about the PJ a lot on the law enforcement side, but for Mobile Fire Rescue, what is y'all's responsibility to areas, let's say specifically the four areas that would be voting on Tuesday to come in? What services are provided at this point?
Yeah, so it really depends on which block you fall in. You know, you got Kings Branch, Orchard Estates, the Cottage Hill block, and then you've got the Airport Boulevard corridor is what they're calling that. But really, the way it's broken down, the Cottage Hill corridor is predominantly right now in the PJ. They're not serviced by a fire department at all outside the Mobile Fire Rescue Department, whereas the Airport corridor, there is a certain citizens in there that are covered by the Seven Hills Fire Department. But, you know, really, when you look at the Cottage Hill corridor, and I think that's been one of the big topics of conversation over the last several weeks, is, you know, what happens to them. And we have been providing coverage for those citizens in that Cottage Hill corridor because there's nobody else to do it. And I think, you know, Chief Barber and the mayor have been very transparent about saying, look, we want to give the citizens a right to vote to come into the city and get those services before they're taken away. And, you know, as we talk about each one of those areas, you've got Kings Branch. Kings Branch is near one of our fire stations on the northern part of the city, and they have a small section that's covered by Sims Fire currently. So it really depends on where you live and what services you're getting and of what the impact would be, you know, pertaining to the annexation vote.
Yeah, Chief Lamy, I asked this of Chief Prine. And maybe it's not been discussed as much as on the law enforcement side. How is staffing at Mobile Fire Rescue? Are y'all where you need to be numbers-wise? Are you low? What's the situation?
So, I mean, we're always trying to recruit. I mean, there's no doubt about it that keeping quality people is always the focus. And we're constantly looking at what we can do to improve compensation and benefits to not only attract the very best, but retain them as well. Certainly, our attrition numbers probably since COVID, just past COVID, have been higher. But our staffing level overall is at the highest level it's been in over 10 years. And that's mainly because we've added positions. I know since I've been the fire chief, we've added almost 57 positions to the Mobile Fire Rescue Department. Some of those were through grants, federal grants. They provide you firefighters for 3 years. But once those grants end, our goal is to try to retain those, and we just did that with 12 of them. So, because of those grants, we've been successful in getting those. That's allowed us to put more men and women on the streets, and then our focus just turns to recruiting the best and retaining the very best.
Okay, so with that being said, you feel good staff-wise if these other areas that you're currently not covering would come under the purview of Mobile Fire Rescue, you have the staff to cover them?
We do. Yeah, absolutely. So we've already looked at that. We've already been, preparing for if the annexation vote is successful, or adding the specific blocks that come in, because if you remember, each block is independent and votes on their own, and so one block can come in, or none, or all four. So it just depends on how the vote shakes. But yes, we've been analyzing our run data, and we're going to deploy some of our resources into different areas of the city to make sure that we still provide that high level of service and the fast response time. So yeah, we're comfortable with repositioning with what we have initially to serve the citizens. But really what we do is going to depend on who comes in. So we're preparing, but, I mean, it really depends on what the what happens with the boat.
Talking to Mobile Fire Chief Lamy, and we're talking about the public safety side on the fire side. The mayor did it yesterday on the show. This has been a discussion point over the last couple of years. Superlatives for the Mobile Fire Rescue Department. ISO ratings, y'all are doing fantastic. But can you explain that, how you get these ratings and what that means to citizens? What should we know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something we try to discuss at all of the annexation meetings, is just educating people, because really that's what we're just trying to do, is to point out what we can provide and what the differences may be and what they're receiving. But when you look at the ISO Class 1 fire department, there's only 1% of the fire departments in the country that have accomplished that. And most people are like, what in the world does that mean? Well, a lot goes into that. They come in independently, and they review everything in our fire department. They look at, believe it or not, malls is a big portion of that score. I think they make up almost 40% of our overall ISO score. And that's the water system. But they're looking at, on the fire side, they're looking at, hey, what kind of water supply do we have available for the citizens in the event that there's a fire at some of our facilities? Do we have the water supply and the means to put that out? But then they're also looking at things like our equipment. Do we test all of our fire hydrants on a yearly basis? Do we test all of our fire hose? I mean, we test over 12 miles of fire hose every year. Our firefighters do. We inspect and flow water out of all over 13,000 fire hydrants. The fire department does, not the mall. So at the end of the day, they look at everything, what you're doing in the community. But one of the most important factors they judge you is on how quickly you can get an adequate number of people on scene to a fire.
Okay? Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. I mean, the water portion, obviously you have to have that to work with. But, yeah, tell me about your staff. Tell me about how quickly y'all mobilize.
Yeah, so, I mean, our average response time to get a unit on scene right now is about 6 minutes, and that's remarkable. And part of that ISO score looks at how fast can we get a full complement of personnel on scene to put out, to address the fire. Because, I mean, we get almost, when you're talking on a structure fire, we're sending almost 20 people, in some cases even more, as a first response to a fire. And so that matters, just because I don't know of another agency around here that can get that many people on scene, but there's a lot of jobs that have to be performed simultaneously. In order to do those effectively, you have to have a lot of people on scene. And so that's something that, they look at as a big factor of that, and that's really one of the large reasons that we get ISO Class 1, is we're able to get those number of people on scene in a timely manner.
And what does that mean for a citizen? That many people on scene is makes you save houses?
Yeah, I mean, well, it can save lives. I mean, you know, when you can get the difference between being able to arrive on scene, deploy hose lines to put out the fire, but then also have other personnel that can, you know, perform search and rescue, or other personnel that can ventilate the structure, additional personnel that can provide medical care if somebody was maybe injured or is rescued out of the building. So all of those things, what it means for a citizen is minutes matter in an emergency. Certainly with fires, the fire spreads very quickly now, especially with all the synthetic materials in homes. The lighter construction burns quicker, and so getting those people on scene can bode well and provide a more favorable outcome if somebody's at risk.
Let's talk about the dollars of this. I remember this came up all those years ago when then County Commissioner Jerry Carl started talking about the fire protection and what it meant for homeowners' insurance rates. So, Chief Lamy, give like some broad brush kind of what that means, and if you do have a ISO 1 rating and you're under the, how does this work out for a homeowner?
Yeah, that's a great question, and really, we've been telling everybody they need to contact their insurance company because it's really dependent on what they say. Some do give a break for having an ISO class rating and a higher ISO rating, 1 to 10. 10's the lowest, 1's the highest, you know, but that's going to be dependent on each carrier. So we would advise them to reach out to that and determine if there is some insurance savings there. But what I can tell you is that I think one of the biggest risks, especially for the citizens that fall within that Cottage Hill corridor, is the fact that they don't have a department now outside of what the services that we provide. I don't have the authority, nor does the mayor anymore, due to legislative actions, to pull back those services. But what can happen through state legislation and or city council action, which you've just seen that this week, that's been a big topic. They're already discussing again about rolling back those services if citizens, you know, based on the vote of the citizens for annexation next week. But I think, you know, for me, I just wanted to let citizens know that obviously the cities would help transition into something else. But if those residents, you know, don't come in on those specific corridors, they're going to have to develop some type of fire department. I mean, they're either a volunteer fire department, a fire authority, a fire jurisdiction. There's just too many people that live in that area. And I certainly know that if we're still responding, they may not get a huge break for an ISO class 1 department in their insurance, but when they don't have a fire department, or if they're ever in a situation where they don't have a primary response, I'm sure that would negatively impact it.
Yeah, it's a pretty big lift too for volunteer firefighters. I know we've talked about it this year with Representative Chip Brown, because he's moving some bills trying to incentivize people to, you know, work for volunteer fire departments, and it seems like that's already been just the departments that are there are having trouble staffing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I got a tremendous amount of respect for volunteer fire departments. I mean, anybody that volunteers their time to help other people, to me, that's significant. And, you know, I was a volunteer firefighter before I became a paid firefighter. And so I certainly understand some of their challenges, but we have a lot of people in our department that are volunteer firefighters. But I'll tell you, there is a difference between a volunteer fire department and a paid. And again, that is not being negative in any way, because I think that Seven Hills and these other departments do a great job of servicing their community. But they are coming from jobs, mm-hmm. or they're coming from their residence, and they typically have to go from their home or place of work to pick up the equipment and then respond to your emergency. And so they do a great job of doing that, but there is a delay there because they're coming from home or they're coming from work. And I think that also just, you know, the reliability of not knowing how many people are going to show up. You know, they don't have any idea when they send that page out necessarily how many people are coming to your emergency. And again, I think they do a tremendous job. But the difference of having a career in paid fire department is we have, you know, over 500 people on this fire department. You know, right now I think our staffing level is just under that. But when you look at that number of people and the amount of people that are on duty each and every day, on holidays, on weekends, at night, during the day, they're going to get there, and they're going to get there pretty quickly.
On the rescue portion of it, Mobile Fire and Rescue Department, let's talk about that as well, because that came up with even inside the PJ now, right? Not having the for ambulance came up, and I know that you have different things. What would change on that, you know, with people annexing it? I mean, obviously, y'all respond to accidents and those kind of things, right, if it's inside the city?
Yes, sir, we do. So one thing would change is end of 2018, they actually pulled back all the emergency medical services out of the jurisdiction, okay? And the only thing that the mobile fire rescue still provided was fire protection in the unincorporated areas. Again, the purpose was not to just leave anybody without. But on the rescue side, on the emergency medical side, you know, on most of the medical calls that we respond to, we send a fire truck first, and people don't understand why we do that. I have a lot of questions of, hey, why do y'all send a fire truck to a medical call? Well, I'll tell you why we do it. It's because we know that we can get there very quickly with a fire truck, and we can provide, you know, care quicker. We can have somebody assess it, the situation. We can start providing life-threatening care. We can start providing oxygen, all those types of things. We can get there and begin that care before a transport decision is made. And so, you know, citizens, what they would transfer from, those that vote in, they would go from Mobile County EMS, which is a private or not-for-profit company that is subsidized by Mobile County. They would transition from their service to the Mobile Fire Rescue Department, and we would be servicing all of those medical calls that come into that area.
Very good. Chief Lamy, anything you want to leave folks with they need to know before Tuesday?
No, I would just encourage everybody, whichever way you feel, to get out and vote. Our whole purpose is just to educate people, to hope that we can provide the right information, because a lot of misinformation gets out there. Be happy to answer any questions. If anybody wants to reach out to my office and would like to have a phone call, I'd be happy to answer any questions pertaining to it. And then what I'll say is, we got a lot of great men and women on this department, some of the best in the country, and it's just an honor to serve alongside them. And we're hopeful that these annexation help us continue to invest in them.
Chief Lamy, thank you for your time. Thanks for hopping on with me today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. I got a ton of texts to get to, and we'll do that. And your phone calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 127, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Oh, yeah, and I was looking at some of this stuff during the break because we're working on next week's shows and all that. So this show, a week from tomorrow, we'll be live at Dolphin Island for the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. I do my midday show live on Friday, and then a special one-hour outdoor show from 11 to noon on Saturday. So make sure you get a chance to come by and see us down there. We'll be down there throughout the weekend, except when I'm fishing. Oh, speaking of which, too, so heads up here. So my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service has got the brokerage service here, and I've explained this before, and actually somebody texted in last week when I was talking about this. They used the service and they saw the value in it. When Forrest started talking to me, he said, listen, we do brokerage service. And he said, if you got a higher-end used boat, let us sell the boat for you. And I said, man, I've sold boats my whole life. He said, yeah. And then we went down the list of all the pains, right? Taking the people on the test ride, getting the calls all the time. Tire kickers are just wasting your time. He said, I can get you just as much for your boat as you would selling it on your own. But because of their brokerage network, they can make a living too. Here's how it works. 50 years in the business, Blue Water Yacht Sales is respected in the high-end brokerage boat network. They've got people looking for the boat you're selling, maybe on the Atlantic coast or somewhere further down, you know, towards Texas on the Gulf Coast or the Florida Gulf Coast. They know the people looking for that boat, so they know the place that boat's going to get the top dollar. Therefore, they sell it to that person, and everybody wins. And the nice thing is, too, if you want to just get the boat perfect to get those pictures taken, get it put up and sold, they'll do a full service and clean up on the boat as well. So it shows like $1 million. even you might not price it at $1 million, but it shows like $1 million. So you got that higher end used boat, you're ready to sell it. Let a friend of mine, Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales, they've been doing it 50 years, do it for you. You can give them a call today to set up an appointment, 476-2699, 476-2699. Discuss getting your boat on the market. Go to bluewateryachtsales.net. All that information is up there as well. In Mobile and Orange Beach, you're thinking about selling that boat, maybe getting the next one. Let Forrest do it for you. Check him out. Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Coming right back, my friend Danny Litford joins me here on Midday Mobile. Lots to talk about with him as well. Stand by.